This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage. In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill from the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hidden Killers podcast.
That it is. We are in day 4 of Lori Vallow Daybill's trial in the testimony phase of the trial itself. It is from the 13th of April, 2023. Let's go to segment 3.
All right. That's another phone that just went off. Thank you, Mr. Bailiff.
All right, please.
Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. Mr. Thomas, you can continue your cross-examination.
Thank you, Your Honor. I believe, Ms. Gibb, you indicated that you first met Lori in October of 2018. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. And that was at some sort of an event. I don't know that you actually said what kind of an event it was. What kind of an event was it?
I was at a regular LDS church building, and there was classes, and I was teaching.
So just in Sunday school type thing?
It was like a Saturday. Maybe it was like more of a Relief Society night where they have a Thursday night evening meeting for the women.
Okay. And you had met her there. Was Lori in your ward at the time?
No.
Okay. She was there with somebody else or just showed up?
She showed up with her niece, Melanie.
Oh, I see. And was Melanie in your ward?
No.
Okay. And you indicated that you had met Chad Daybill maybe 2 years before, a year or two before?
Correct.
Okay. And after meeting Lori in October of 2018, you guys became fast friends, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And so then you indicated that within a week or two of meeting Lori, that was the first time that you met Tylee and JJ?
Correct.
Okay. The state was asking about the relationship between Lori and Tylee and Lori and JJ. How is it that you know anything about their relationships? What was your relationship with Lori?
Very close friends.
And for how long were you close friends?
When I met her, which was in October, that's when we met for the first time. And so we became friends instantly.
So October of 2018 to about October of 2019, you guys were really close?
Correct.
Okay. And would you see each other daily?
Sometimes, but then it changed over time.
Okay.
But it wasn't exactly daily, but it felt like it was so often.
Okay. And when you would meet with her, what was that like? Would it just be like calling somebody on the phone and say, hey, what do you want to do tonight? Or was it more of a during the day type thing? What was the schedule like of your relationship with Lori? How did that work out?
So she after I met her, she had my phone number, and so she communicated and asked me to meet her at places like the temple, or we would eat lunch. That was basically where we met.
Okay. And so, I mean, obviously the kids didn't go to the temple, right?
Correct.
So would they be there when you were eating lunch or something like that?
No, I would go over to her house shortly after meeting her.
Okay. So you indicated that JJ sometimes seemed frustrated.
Yeah.
And you indicated that was typical for a 7-year-old who has autism.
To me, it is.
Okay. I mean, autism is a big spectrum, right?
It is.
Okay. And so when you indicate that JJ would get frustrated, I mean, how familiar are you with autism and with the type of autism that JJ had, his type of spectrum?
I've seen different people in life, small kids and in general, have autistic behaviors. And so I could tell with the frustration, not being able to communicate quite like he wanted to, you know, getting frustrated, crying often, mm-hmm. When maybe he didn't get his way or he was trying to maybe communicate or wanted to play with somebody, you know, just the inability to have relationships, maybe like kids that don't have autism have.
In your interaction with Lori and with her children, did you notice any type of a schedule or a set pattern that JJ would need to be on? Anything like that?
He might have had a bedtime routine, but I wasn't aware enough to know how often their routine was. I wasn't around him, you know, that often, so I don't know.
Okay. Do you know that JJ went to a special school?
Yes. I don't know if it was a special school, but I know it was a really nice, what do you call it, a private school. So I think they had a section probably for autistic kids is my memory.
Okay. And did Lori ever talk to you about JJ's routines, the things that he had to do before he went to school, anything like that?
I don't recall.
Okay. After the day that Charles was shot and killed by Alex, you were there with Lori, right? Later that day?
No.
No? The next day?
No.
No. Okay. Had you ever gone with Lori to take JJ to school?
It's possible. I don't recall, but it feels like I have been. Feels like it.
Okay. Do you know that JJ had a routine that he would get in the car, go get some French fries or chicken fries at Burger King before he went to school every day?
I don't recall that.
You don't recall that? Okay. You indicated on direct examination, that Lori had said something about a belief in multiple lives or multiple probations. Is that right?
That's right.
Isn't it true that you said something to Lori about you felt like you had been on this earth 4 or 5 times?
No.
You never said that?
No, she thought that. That was her belief, not mine.
She thought that you had been on the earth 4 or 5 times?
Correct.
Okay. And during the course of the year that you guys were close, you never bought into that?
At times.
At times you did buy into that, that you had multiple lives or you were...
I wasn't sure, but she was very convincing and tried to encourage me to believe it.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Lori meeting Chad for the first time. I think you indicated that that was, let me see, a couple weeks after the October 2018 visit. Is that right? When you met with Lori?
It could have been that weekend. I don't remember exactly the weekend. It was in October. I know that.
Okay. And then a couple of weeks later, there was a meeting at Lori's house where Chad was there, right?
Correct.
And you indicated that Chad had spent the night there?
Correct.
Did you also spend the night there?
I did.
And weren't there also all the other speakers who were speaking at that conference? Didn't they all spend the night as well?
No, just some people did, but not everybody.
How many people do you think spent the night there?
Maybe 5 or 6, about 6 people, I think.
Okay.
Sorry, we have another third time this morning, cell phone interruption. And we've been doing so well up until now, so it's just been the morning for phones. Everybody, please make sure they're on silent. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Apologies to interrupt.
That's okay, Judge. Do you want to take a minute and let everybody turn their phones off or just make sure they're off? Or are we good to just start? Keep going.
Let's just keep going.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Certainly. So there were multiple people who spent the night at Lori's house. This wasn't some romantic encounter between Chad and Lori, correct?
I don't know what their desires for that connection at that time. I don't know what they were trying to, what their conversations about why he was staying there. But I know that there was some attraction. I'll just say that.
Okay. But this wasn't a hookup, right?
I can't agree with that.
You think that you and at least five other people who were at this conference and Chad were in the midst of Chad and Lori having a hookup that night?
They weren't acknowledging of it. I didn't say that. I'm talking about them. That was their own personal, whatever they had going up to get together. That was between them. But the other people, I don't think they were aware of what was going on.
Okay. All right. And I believe you indicated that Lori said that she had been through 4 or 5 different creations. Is that right?
Yes.
4 or 5 probations. I don't know how.
I used to know. I'm remembering 5, but it seemed like it changed again. I don't remember the number right now.
Okay. And then you indicated that Lori had met with Chad in the temple with Moroni and Jesus Christ in the same room.
Correct.
And you had been to the temple with Lori on multiple occasions, right?
That's right.
And did this intrigue you at all?
Which part?
That Lori was married to Chad by Jesus Christ and Moroni.
I thought it was very unusual and different. I didn't really know what to think about it. I wondered, like, is that really true? Like, you know.
And what temple was this?
The Gilbert Temple.
And is that the temple that you normally went to?
Correct.
And had you been to the temple with Lori after this particular event?
Yes, we went often, so yeah.
And you never asked her to show you the place that she got married?
No.
Okay. There was some testimony about Lori having a special mission on Earth, that being part of the gathering of 144,000 people.
Correct.
Correct, yeah. And you indicate that that was biblically referenced, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And then at some point, Lori believed that she was one of the heads of the gathering of the 144,000, is that right?
That's right.
And were you ever involved in or brought in to that gathering of the 144,000?
Well, she would indicate that the girls that she knew were part of it. It wasn't given to us as knowledge on our own, just it's what she believed and Chad believed.
Okay. And did you believe that you were part of the 144,000?
I wasn't sure. I didn't feel like it, but they kept trying to convince me that I was, but I didn't feel that calling ever.
Okay. But you were involved in what they call, what has been referred to as castings, is that right?
Correct.
And when you say castings, it kind of has a witchcrafty type of a connotation to it, do you think, or no, or is that not what you think of?
It didn't feel like that. So,
did it feel like biblically Jesus would cast out devils and cast out evil spirits, and that's what you guys were doing?
Correct.
Okay, so it was more like, not like casting spells. It was more like casting out devils by using prayer.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And you were involved in some of these casting out of devils and evil spirits with Lori, right?
Correct.
Okay. And during the times that you were doing these castings or casting out of evil spirits, did you ever feel like this was the wrong thing to do?
It felt very unusual. It was very innocent to me.
Innocent in the fact that you were just in a prayer circle, right? That you and whoever else were just praying about somebody.
Correct.
Or you were praying for the leaders of the world, or the leaders of the church, or for hunger to dissipate, or something good to happen, right?
No.
No? You never prayed about that?
Not that I have any memory of.
Okay. All right. So when you were doing these castings, was it for specific people only?
Yes.
Now, tell me a little bit about light and dark. I have some knowledge, and I think that this might be interesting to flesh out a little bit for the jurors. So tell me a little bit about light and dark. You indicated, I think, that someone can switch between being light and being dark.
They indicated that to me, yes.
They indicated that to you?
Chad and Lori, yes.
All right. And you never believed any of that?
At times, I wondered if it was true. I wasn't 100% convinced.
Okay. But you were involved in casting out of dark spirits, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you believed it somewhat.
Like I said, somewhat, but not completely.
Okay.
I don't think they believed it at first, too, because they didn't know what they were trying to accomplish.
Well, when they were asking, when the prosecutor, Ms. Lindsay Blake, was asking you about who you had told about Light and Dark, and then that she specifically mentioned the absence of Brandon Boudreau, you had said, and I guess I can't quote you, but I think you said we, and then you corrected yourself, and then you said Chad and Lori were the ones who were doing that, right?
They were in charge of doing that.
Okay. But you had injected yourself, right?
It was just an accident word.
Freudian slip?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You talked a little bit about the first casting out of an evil spirit that you did involved Lori, Zulema, Christina, yourself, and somebody else. Is that right? I wasn't fast enough writing them down.
Those people, yes. I might have been one more person.
Who was the other person?
Did you say Nicole? And
I did not, so okay, that must have been the other person, huh? Who's Nicole?
A friend of Christina's, which were both friends of Lori's.
And was Christina there as well?
Yes.
Yes, Christina, okay. Mm-hmm. And what's Nicole's last name?
I'm not remembering. I didn't know her very well.
Okay. What's Christina's last name?
Atwood.
Atwood. And was this casting done in someone's home, or was it done in the temple, or where was it done?
It was done in homes, yes. I don't think it was done in the temple.
Okay. And what would this look like? I mean, what would a casting look like?
Lori would, most of the time. Maybe not the first time, but generally it was just people standing up, and I don't remember if people held hands or not. I don't remember that. Just basically kind of stood in a circle together or lined up around, you know, just being in the same room together.
Mm-hmm. And then what would happen?
And then she would try to express her castings out by her knowledge, whatever she could think of, maybe terminology that she gained from either energy work or maybe scriptural, those kind of things. I don't recall the words. And I think her friends would try to come up with something that they thought was helpful, and it generally sounded like something you would say in energy work. That's how I can explain it.
Okay. And what's your familiarity with energy work?
So I had a little bit of energy work done to me through a person who it's called emotion code, where they ask the body questions, and often they would talk about how you were, you know, connected to your ancestors, or you had different emotions going on in your body, and they would try to release it through their, they call it muscle testing, things like that. But some of the practitioners would sometimes able to communicate with spirits on the other side of the veil, like deceased ancestors or people like that. And so they kind of had their own language. I was never an energy worker, so I don't you know, remember all those words, but I just remember that was my experience.
So just to clarify, and I'm still a little bit confused about what went on in these castings. I think we established that it was a prayer, and each person would say a little part of that prayer. Is that how it would work?
Yeah.
Okay. And I believe you indicated something about disconnecting cords or trying to convince the spirit to leave the body?
Yes.
And it was all done with prayer?
I think you can call it prayer. It's my best word.
Okay. You're praying to God or your Heavenly Father to try to help you to get this evil spirit out of this person, or heal this person, or do something like that. Is that
correct?
Right? That's where you were going with that?
Yes.
Okay. Because I don't want to put any words in your mouth. I just... Okay. let's talk about zombies. So there, you had heard Lori use the term zombie, right?
Correct.
This wasn't the first time that you've heard the word zombie, right?
Well, it's a nation, worldwide word, correct.
Right, and it's been around for a while, at least the 1960s from what I can see, right?
I believe so. I don't know when it started, but...
But you've heard it growing up.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, when Lori talked about zombies, did you immediately think that they were going to die?
No. No.
Okay. What were your thoughts about that?
It was a bizarre teaching. I believe Lori thought it was bizarre at first, too. It was very something she'd never heard of in the context of how it was explained to her through Chad.
Okay. Do you recall making the statement or writing down a statement indicating that Tylee had been a zombie since she was 12 or 13 years old?
So, yes, but what that means is when she was claimed to be a zombie, Chad would let her know that she truly became a zombie years ago. But that knowledge was, you know, she was sharing it as she was 16 or 17. She was saying that, oh, she became not a zombie right then, but he was trying to say she had actually turned it when she was about 12 or 13.
So that's what Chad said to you and Lori?
To Lori.
To Lori, and then Lori related to you?
Correct.
Okay. You indicated that Brandon Boudreau was a dark spirit, is that right? Or he had a dark spirit?
According to their beliefs, yes.
Okay. And that he moved to even a higher level of darkness? He was part of Hitler's group during the World War, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And had you ever met Brandon Boudreau?
I had.
Before Charles's death?
Yes.
Okay. Did that jive with you, that he was a dark spirit?
I thought it was, it just was continually bizarre. There's moments where he's 1 minute this, and now he's this, and then he's really this, and it would go deeper into just different explanations of how much they would change into darker. And
this was kind of an ongoing thing with different people?
Mm-hmm, correct.
I believe you said something about Tylee was told sometime between February and June that she went dark. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. So she hadn't been a dark spirit the whole time. She just became dark sometime between February and June of 2019?
Yes.
Okay. And in September of 2019, you were told that JJ was possessed, right?
Correct.
Okay. Did you ever pray for Tylee or JJ?
No.
No.
Mr. Thomas, would this be a good opportunity to take our lunch recess?
Sure, that'd be fine.
Okay, we're just right before noon, so let's go ahead and do that at this time. I'll talk briefly to Deputy Ravello as well at the end here. We'll break for lunch and shoot for our 45-minute lunch, hopefully be back around 12:45 to resume with your cross-examination.
All right, please.
Okay. We'll go back on the record on case CR 22-211624. Appreciate everyone going quick on their lunch break, I know, so we can maintain our schedule to stop at 3:30 or thereabouts. So we'll let the jurors be brought back in, and then you can continue with your cross-examination, Mr. Thomas.
Jury's out, present, count for
you. All right, thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Everyone, please be seated. All right, we are back on the record on KCR 22-211624, State of Idaho versus Lori Noreen Vallow. We just concluded the lunch break for the day. Mr. Thomas is conducting cross-examination of the witness, Melanie Gibb. If you'd like to continue with your cross at this time, you can, Mr. Thomas.
Good afternoon, Ms. Gibb.
Good afternoon.
So before the lunch break, we were talking a little bit about dark energies and those kinds of things. We talked about the fact that sometime between February and June, Tylee had gone dark. You recall talking about that?
Yes.
Okay. And then sometime in September, you were also told that JJ was possessed. Is that right?
September, yes.
Okay. And that was September of 2019?
It was around that time, whenever I flew in. I think it was the 19th.
Okay. And when they said possessed, you took that to mean that he was possessed by some sort of an evil spirit?
Correct.
Let's see here. We kind of bounced around a little bit. The next thing I'd like to talk about is the shooting of Charles Vallow on July the 11th. You indicate that you had talked to Lori about that particular event. Is that right?
Correct.
And Lori had told you that she did not witness the shooting. Is that right?
I just don't recall if she said she did or she didn't.
Okay. But you understand that there was some sort of an altercation?
Yes.
And that altercation was between Alex Cox and Charles Vallow?
Correct.
Okay. And Lori wasn't involved in the altercation, to your knowledge?
There was a lot of verbal communication between the two of them. I don't know if there was any physical. I'm not recalling that part.
Okay. So when you stayed at Lori's house in mid-September, I believe you said it was September 19th, 2019, you said you did not see Tylee. Is that right?
That's correct.
Isn't it true that you and Tylee didn't necessarily get along?
We didn't have a relationship.
Okay. She didn't particularly like you, right?
She didn't indicate that she did like me.
Okay. And you didn't particularly have any kindness towards her?
That's not true.
You did?
I was kind. I'm always kind.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about you being kind to Tylee. What did that look like?
When I tried to introduce myself, she wouldn't really look at me. She kind of rolled her eyes and looked away and didn't seem happy that I was there. She didn't know me. It was just first time, you know, she'd ever heard of me that I know of. And so just from the very beginning, she didn't like me.
And that kind of continued throughout the time that you knew Lori?
Yes. And one time I tried to be nice to her. We were sitting at like a little restaurant, and I think I was trying to help brush her hair off her arm or something, and she didn't particularly care for that.
Okay.
But I had empathy for her, so.
Going back to the death of Charles, I believe you testified on direct examination that Lori had told you the day before Charles had passed away that if Charles was to die, then the money would go to Kay. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's how I worded it. Sounds right.
Okay. But you knew that information prior to Charles's death?
Yes.
Okay. And so there really wouldn't be any incentive monetarily for Lori to be involved in Charles's death, right?
I don't think that's true. I think there was, well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly how the wording was with the, I think it, she was starting to see that it was changed. The money was changed right up until that point. So I don't know if there would have been an incentive if he would have. No, that would have been, I'm just trying to clarify my own mind, so mm-hmm. Sorry about that. I don't know if there would have been.
Okay. But you knew prior to him dying that the insurance policy had changed the beneficiary to Kay?
Yes, just prior.
Okay. Thank you. You talked a little bit to the prosecuting attorney about why Chad didn't get a divorce, and you indicated that either Chad or Lori, somebody, told you that he would be penalized, he would lose his exaltations if he got divorced.
Correct.
What did you mean by that? Who told you that?
That's what Lori told me.
Okay. And so the logic was he was just going to wait for her to die naturally and carry on this affair with Lori?
That was the idea.
Okay. Another thing that I had a question about, you were talking to the prosecutor today, and we talked a little bit about Lori telling you to tell the police that you had JJ, right?
Correct. Yeah, correct.
Okay. And the police had called you, and there was no answer. You didn't pick up the phone right away?
Correct.
How many times did they call you? Do you remember?
It felt like it was two times, the Idaho police called.
Okay. And did they leave a message, or they text you?
I believe they did. It could have been both.
Okay. And you told them, and I'm just going to quote it as best I can from what I remember you saying, I had him, but I don't have him anymore. Is that right?
I didn't tell the Idaho people that.
Okay. Who did you tell?
That was Gilbert police.
Okay. But you did tell them that you had JJ at one point, but you didn't have him anymore?
Correct.
That Lori had come and picked him up?
Correct. Something like that.
Okay. And that wasn't the truth?
That wasn't the truth.
Okay. And then did the conversation go on from there with the Gilbert police?
Just small talk, but nothing significant. I just told them I was going, you know, back to Arizona the next day and my plans for Thanksgiving.
So where were you when that phone call was made?
I was in Utah, and I was in the process of going down to Arizona to have Thanksgiving.
Okay. So you were living in Utah?
No.
No. What were you doing in Utah?
I was visiting my boyfriend.
Okay. And that's David Warwick?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you guys... Did you ever get married to him or no?
No, we're married.
Oh, you're married now?
Yes.
Okay. And so you were visiting him. That's when you got the phone call. And that's when you said you had him, but you don't have him anymore. And you're indicating that was not the truth.
Correct.
Okay. And then you contacted law enforcement a second time. And that was... after you had made the recording that we had just heard, exhibit number 42?
I'm not sure I just know I contacted them after I recorded it.
Okay. So you recorded it and then you contacted them?
We had talked prior to that, but because that's who I knew who to send it to, is because I already contacted Officer Pillar, so I knew to send it to him. So I let him know that night after I recorded it if I could send it to him, or if should I send it to the Idaho people, what should I do? And just said to, email it or send it.
So did you, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Did you and Officer Piller decide that you were going to record this phone call?
Oh, no, no.
But you had talked to Officer Piller about doing this?
No, I just had a contact with him and communicated with him, saying I need to come and talk to you. I can't remember I'm trying to remember the dates, if I had talked to him already, but it had nothing to do with the recording. Yeah.
Okay. And you indicate that one of the reasons that you made the recording was so that you would be able to have some sort of audio proof that you didn't know anything about where JJ was.
That's one of the reasons.
Okay. So it was a self-serving phone call.
It was a multi-serving.
I'm sorry?
It was a multi-serving purpose.
Okay. But part of it was self-serving.
Partially.
Yes?
Yes, partially.
Okay. And during that recording, at one point you said you would be safe if you hadn't opened dark portals. Your salvation is in trouble. My salvation is not in trouble. Do you recall saying that?
I don't remember saying my salvation wasn't. I don't remember exactly, but I remember the first part. What you said is that her salvation was in trouble.
What about the dark portals?
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about the dark portals? What does that mean?
Sure. So they often talked about creating portals. So Chad would explain to Lori how to make a portal so that they could. Hers was in her closet. I think his was on his bed or in his room somewhere, and that they could communicate through some kind of ability to communicate through a portal. Not that you could physically see anything, but it was something that they would make up in a spiritual realm in their mind, and that they would be able to communicate. And so they were participating in that kind of ideas. So that's how I would explain it.
Did you have a portal?
No, no.
No?
No.
Okay. You also talked about Korihor in that phone call. Who was Korihor?
Yes, I did talk about Korihor. He is a antichrist found in the Book of Mormon, in the Book of Alma. He was going around preaching of the idea of antichrist. He was teaching against the idea of a Christ coming to our world. And after he had questioned the prophet Alma, questioning him and saying, "Show me a sign that there is Christ," he wanted proof, and he said, "Well, if it's God's will, you will be struck dumb." And so he struck dumb. And after he was struck dumb, he said that he was deceived by Satan or the devil in the form of an angel, and that he taught him some teachings that were pleasing to the carnal mind, insomuch that he had much success and convinced himself that they were true. That's what I was referring to.
And so you're referring to her as an antichrist?
Yes.
Okay. You also mentioned Alma in there. That's also, Alma is also a person in the Book of Mormon?
Correct. He's a person that believes in Christ as a prophet.
Okay. And you also mentioned, I believe, Joseph Smith in that phone call, or she... Lori did, one of the two of you, and he is also someone who is connected with the Book of Mormon?
In translating it, Joseph Smith was.
Okay. So all of the characters that, I hate to say characters, people that are in the conversation that you were talking about, biblically or scripturally, those were all either from the Book of Mormon or from the Bible?
I believe they were all from the Book of Mormon.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
You talked a little bit about talking to Lori the day that Tammy passed away, Tammy Daybell. You recall that?
Yes.
And where was Lori when Tammy had passed away? Do you know?
She told me she was in Hawaii.
Okay. Do you have any reason to believe she wasn't in Hawaii?
No.
Okay. The prosecutor asked you a little bit about light and dark scales and trust scales and loyalty to different people. And then you went in and talked a little bit about vibrations. So tell me a little more about these vibrations. Was that a new concept for you that Lori was telling you about?
The idea of having a vibration high enough to be translated as a being, yes, that was a new idea.
Okay. This wasn't part of energy work or those kinds of New Age type of beliefs?
The word vibration is common amongst, I would say, alternative or energy work, but the realm in which they discussed it was at a different level, so it had a new kind of a meaning to it. That was how I interpreted it.
Okay. And so had you been involved in or had training or experiences with vibrations as far as energy work or as far as the new age or new age concepts?
The only thing I could probably think of is maybe doing some yoga, but I didn't really kind of talk. I mean, they talked about vibration a little bit, about, you know, highest vibration is like love or peace, something like that.
So this isn't something totally new to you?
It's not totally new.
Okay. Just to end, I would like to ask you a little bit about Alex Cox. And you indicate that at some point he had totally bought into the zombie concept, right?
Correct.
And that you specifically said he had 100% believed it was true. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And then you had asked, I believe it was you that asked, what had happened to JJ. Is that right? Did you ever ask Alex that?
That's right, I did.
And what did Alex say?
He says, I said, do I want to know what happened to him? And he said, you don't want to know.
And then what was the conversation after that?
He talked about how the police came to his apartment, took his guns. They were really evil people, the police people were. And then Melanie was there, and she talked about how her house was broken into, too. They took her, I think, money or something like that. And then Alex talked about getting ready to go on a honeymoon or, you know, like get married to Salima. And anyway, we just kind of talked about a bunch of stuff. And then he talked about how Chad had given him a patriarchal blessing and talked about how, you know, he felt he was very, it was a very touching blessing for Alex and very emotional about it. And then we met up with Salima, you know, during part of it, because, you know, she was just on the walking way towards her house. And then we talked about a little bit what was going on up there in Rexburg, just, you know, the police and this and that. And I don't know, those kind of things.
But it seemed like everything kind of revolved around, where was JJ? We're looking for JJ, right?
There was a little talk about that, but then they changed the subject and talked about what was going on and how they were being chased and those kind of things.
But why do you think they were being chased?
Well, that's what I asked them. I didn't understand why they were. And they just said the evil was after them.
Okay. So basically you asked, do I want to know what happened to JJ? And they said, no, you don't want to know.
Yeah.
And that was Alex. And was anybody else there?
Melanie was there.
Melanie who?
Pulowski.
Okay. She was there when that was said?
She was there. I don't know if she's right next to me, but she was, you know, they were both together, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he just kept skirting the issue of, I'm not going to tell you where JJ
is? Yeah, he didn't announce it. And then later I'd ask Sulema, like, what did he mean? What does that mean? And she's like, and she had asked him because she didn't understand either what had happened to JJ. And he told her that that they couldn't be found. And so when I questioned her about it, I said, I'm very concerned about this. So I asked her what he told her.
Okay. Thank you. I have no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Redirect.
So you were asked about a couple things that I just want to go over with you again.
Okay.
You were asked about Tylee not liking you.
Correct.
And I think you indicated that it didn't seem like she liked you. Had you been around other teenagers before?
Yes.
Had you seen other teenagers have an attitude?
Sure.
Was there anything about Tylee's behavior that you thought was completely out of the ordinary for a teenager?
If you have some teenagers that are ornery and disrespectful, then she would fit into that category. Yeah.
And I talked to you a little bit before about Tylee's interactions with her mother, Lori.
Yeah.
Did you observe similar behaviors towards Lori from Tylee?
Lori was generally pretty calm around her. She usually didn't react with her, you know, disrespect. She tried to make friends with her most of the time.
Did you observe Tylee being disrespectful to her mom at times?
Yes.
During this time, was this towards the time that you were spending quite a bit of time with Lori?
Yeah. Well, yes, just throughout. Just, you know, throughout because she moved and, you know, wherever she was, usually Tylee was with her.
I think they may have brought this up, but where did you spend Christmas of 2018? Do you recall?
Christmas Day?
Or just around Christmas. Did you go to anyone's house?
It seemed like I did something with Lori and her family, but I don't remember exactly what day it was.
And throughout your friendship with Lori, did you travel with her?
Not in the airplane, but I flew to visit her in Hawaii, and then I went by myself, and then by myself I flew to see her in Texas.
And when you went to see her in Hawaii, do you recall approximately when that would have been?
February, I believe, the end of February 2019.
And did you spend time with her there?
Yes.
Did you notice anything with regard to whether or not she was in contact with Chad Daybell?
Yes, she was.
Was that pretty consistent contact?
Yes.
Daily?
Yes.
And did you overhear conversations?
I would hear a little bit. She often would sit in the balcony and talk to him for a while, and then we'd go to the beach and she would talk to him, and if we're at lunch or breakfast, she may have received phone calls from him. But I knew she was in correspondence.
Was that a daily thing?
Yes.
And in February of 2019, both Charles and Tammy were alive, is that correct?
Correct.
Did you also do podcasts with Lori?
I did.
And how often did you do the podcasts?
It seemed like they were once a week, and then maybe it changed to maybe once. It changed. I don't recall. Maybe once a month to once every few weeks. It kind of changed a bit. She wasn't on all the podcasts.
And you were asked about JJ and what if he had any special services. Do you recall if JJ had a service dog?
He did.
Did Lori ever tell you if that dog went with them to Idaho?
No, I don't believe so.
You know, this is beyond the scope of direct or cross.
I will sustain that. We're outside of the scope of direct.
Did Lori tell you that you had been on the earth before?
Yes.
And you were asked some more things about the temple. Is the temple related to the LDS faith?
Yes.
And when, before I'd ask you about sealings a little bit, sealings done at the temple, do sealings generally take place in the temple?
Yes.
And is that part of the LDS faith?
On the scope of cross, I'm going to object.
That will be overruled. That went into on cross. So you can continue, Ms. Blake.
Are marriages common in the temple for the LDS faith?
Yes.
Did you want to believe Lori?
I think sometimes. She's very convincing.
You were asked about Tylee being a zombie at the age of 12 or 13. And I believe you indicated that Chad had told Lori that?
I believe it was him, yes.
And then you said Lori told you that Tylee became dark between February and June of 2019? Are those right dates?
Well, no, I said between February and June, but as I was pondering, I definitely remember when I was in Texas, you talking about it. So whenever I was in Texas, which I think it was in April or May.
And if someone was a zombie, was it your understanding that Chad and Lori would say that person was already dark?
Yes.
So was this an example of some of the inconsistent teachings done by Chad and Lori?
When you say inconsistent, what do you mean?
I think you talked about that it would evolve and kind of change. Was this an example of that?
Yeah.
And you were asked about the switch in the life insurance policy regarding Charles. Could you have learned about that switch after Charles' death?
No.
Did you see Lori and communicate with her in the days after Charles' death?
Did I see her?
Did you see her or communicate with her in the days after Charles had passed away?
Yeah, about probably 4 days after he passed away, she contacted me. And I don't know if I saw her like the day after that or something.
And you were asked about that phone call and whether or not it was self-serving. Did you have concerns that someone would try to falsely accuse you of something?
Yes.
Who did you think may falsely accuse you of something?
Chad and Lori.
And you said that was only one of the reasons for the call.
Correct.
What was the other reason again?
I wanted to find out if I could find the whereabouts where JJ was.
Who did you believe would have the information as to where JJ was?
I believe Lori would have known because that's her son.
Did you turn that recording over to the police?
I did.
At the time that you made that call on December 8th, did you believe things Lori had taught you anymore?
No.
Did you at that time believe she was teaching false things for her own personal gain?
Yes.
You were asked about some of the concepts such as vibrations not being completely new words or new terms.
Yes.
Were some of the teachings of Lori linked or based on terms that were more mainstream?
They could have originated from them through different energy workers to different things they'd heard through the alternative field, and then it led into other things.
And you were, in your opinion, did that make it easier to believe them?
Yes.
You were asked about the term zombie as well.
Correct.
And you've heard the term zombie before Lori told it to you.
That's right.
And had you ever heard the term zombie in the way that Lori used it, though, before she told you?
No.
Was your understanding of the way they use zombie that the body of that person was still alive?
I'm trying to figure out how you're asking. Hold on. I can make sure I understand your question. Say that again.
I can phrase it different.
Yeah,
that might be helpful. Yeah. The way that Lori told you how zombies worked is the person's spirit would be pushed out of their body.
Right.
And the body would still be alive.
Right.
And is that the way that they use zombie to you?
That's the way they used it, correct.
They weren't using it in the term that, would you say it was in the way you'd heard the term before, such as in a horror movie?
No.
It had a different definition attached.
Yes.
I think before you mentioned that Chad and Lori wanted, if they wanted people gone, those people became zombies.
Yes.
At some point, did you start to observe a pattern as to what was happening when someone was deemed a zombie?
Yes.
And what pattern did you start to see?
The pattern I start to see is when people in her, you know, personal life or close to that personal life, they started questioning her, not happy with the situations that were going on between her and her niece. Sorry, I'm just losing my train of thought a little bit. Please ask a question again.
So I was talking if you started to see a pattern evolve with when someone was deemed a zombie.
Yes.
And what that pattern was.
Right. So the pattern was as soon as they started questioning her or, you know, just thought something suspicious going on, all of a sudden that person became dark or a zombie.
And when you talk about someone, people that they wanted gone were deemed zombies. When they would deem those people zombies, were those people gone?
Most of them. Not every single person.
But did they deem Charles a zombie?
Yes.
And when I say they, I guess I should be specific. Did Lori deem Charles a zombie?
Yes.
Did Lori refer to Tammy Daybell as a zombie?
I believe so. She probably used that word, but I'm not 100%. I think so.
Did she refer to Tammy as being possessed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did she refer to Tylee as a zombie?
Yes.
Did she refer to JJ as a zombie?
Yes.
And we talked before, to the best of your understanding, Alex Cox believed what they told him.
Correct.
He believed what Lori told him about zombies.
Correct.
Do you know, did you ever observe Alex's relationship with Lori?
Yes.
Could you describe their relationship?
They seemed very close. They joked around a lot with each other. They seemed to be there for each other.
Do you know if at any point Alex was given a special designation as to what his purpose on Earth was?
Yes, it was to basically be her protector.
Did you observe or do you know if Alex would do what Lori asked him to?
I felt that he would. I mean, I don't know 100% everything she told him to do.
I think we talked about, you'd indicated Lori had told you she was going to ask Alex to stay with her the night before Charles was shot by Alex.
That's right.
And Alex stayed the night?
Sorry.
Judge, I'm going to object. I never went into any of this on cross. And so she's just redirecting for her own benefit for redirecting, not has nothing to do with the cross-exam.
I do agree we're outside of the scope again of where we went with both direct and cross at this point, so I'll sustain that.
And Ms. Gibb, you were asked if you met with the prosecutors prior to today.
Yes.
And if you went over your testimony with the prosecutors.
Yes.
And you indicated that you did meet with me.
Yes.
Do you recall, during the prep, did that influence your testimony today?
No.
Do you recall me discussing with you that all we ask you to do is tell the truth today?
Always.
And is that what you've done today?
Yes.
I have no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. Any recross, Mr. Thomas?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
There's much more to come. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell
from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to five pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.